There's always one thing about success. It could disappear in just a blink of an eye. One minute you're famous, the next you're infamous. And that's what happened to Milli Vanilli. Today we'll go over their formation, what happened, and where are they now. And as I always say, before looking forward, we have to look back. Rob Pelez and Fabrice Marvin met during a dance seminar at Disco in Los Angeles. The two bonded over their similar experiences growing up in European cities such as Paris and Munich. "Something clicked between us," Pelez said. "Maybe it's because we're both black people who grew up in foreign cities that don't have too many blacks." They reunited in Munich, where they attempted to find work as backing singers, then formed their own act. After adopting the name Milli Vanilli, they recorded an album for a small German label that sold just a few thousand records. Although they were focused on becoming famous, they struggled with poverty. "We live in a project, we had no money, we wanted to be stars," explained Pelez. Music producer Frank Farian learned of the duo and invited them to his Frankfurt studio to listen to a demo. "We got a call to come to his studio and we said, all right, that's it," Pelez recalled. "We were just dumb little kids. So he said, let's go. When we got to the studio, Girl You Know It's True was just a demo. And he asked us our opinion of it and if we could sing it. We said, yeah, we could see it. And he said, oh, beautiful, I believe it. But next week we have shows to do. So don't worry, I'll make you into a millionaire." He also signed the duo to a contract on January 1st, 1988. Obligating him to record 10 songs a year. But the group singing in the recording studio did not impress Frank. "These two guys came to the studio, they recorded, but they didn't have enough quality," Farian said. "The final mix of Girl You Know It's True was finished by studio producers including Charles Shaw, John Davis, Brad Howell, Jody Rocco, and Linda Rocco in March and April. By May, the two were touring Spain, France, Italy, lip-syncing to the pre-recorded tracks and thrilling crowds with their distinct style, spandex shorts, thigh-high boots, and cornrow hair extensions. According to Pelez, "We would ask Frank, why don't we go be allowed to give some artistic input? And he would say, yeah, yeah, but right now we need you to go out and do promotion. Of course you'll get to do it, just work with us." That's how he struggles alone. After the song took off in Germany in summer 1988, Farian produced and wrote most of the material on the album All or Nothing, which was released in Europe in November 1988. After Frank released the album, he told us that it was too late to stop now, Pelez said, because the single was such a big success. He said, "Now you have to go through with it. I'll cover you guys. Nobody will find out," he said. "Here, I'll give you $20,000 advance money. We never had a hit before, so we went along with it. We played with fire, and now we know, but it's too late." By December, both men came to the realization that their actual voices will never be heard on any Milli Vanilli tracks. All Nothing was repackaged as Girl You Know It's True for Aries in the U.S., released in March 1989. It was a major success, producing five singles that entered the top five in the Billboard Hot 100, which is Baby Don't Forget My Number, Blame on the Rain, and Girl I'm Gonna Miss You, growing to number one. In January 1990, Girl You Know It's True was certified 6 times platinum by the RIAA after spending 7 weeks atop the Billboard Top 200. It spent 41 weeks in the top 10 of the Billboard Top 200 and 78 weeks on the charts overall. It was also certified Diamond in Canada, designating sales of over 1 million units there. They also won a Grammy for Best New Artist. Beth McCarthy Miller, then an executive with MTV, says the duo's English language skills, when they came in for the interview with Charles, stirred doubts among those present as to where they had sung on the records. The first public sign was that the group was lip-singing Come on July 21st, 1989, during a performance on TV at the Lake Compounds Theme Park in Bristol, Connecticut, as they performed the backing track for the song Girl Your Little Shoe began to jam and skip, repeatedly played the partial line, "Girl, you know it's, girl, you know it's, girl, you know it's," going through the speakers. I knew right there and there it was the beginning of the end for Milli Vanilli. Rob recalled the incident when my voice got stuck in the computer and it just kept repeating, "Ping." I panicked. I didn't know what to do, so I just ran off stage. Downtown Julie Brown ran after Rob and convinced him to finish the set. With a bit of pushing and screaming and a couple of F-words, I think as well, I got them back out there. Brown explained on VH1's Behind the Music, despite the miss out, the concert audience seemed neither to care nor even to notice. The concert continued as if nothing unusual had happened. In March 1990 issue of Time magazine, Rob was quoted proclaiming himself to be the new Elvis, reasoning that by the duo's success, that they were more talented musically than Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney, and Mick Jagger. This was denied by Fab Morvan, as recently saying that Pelaez never used those words and that the quote was taken out of context, likely due to Pelaez still not having a full grasp of the English language. Unlike the international release of All or Nothing, the assist for the American version of the album explicitly attributed the vocals to Morvan and Pelaez. This prompted Charles Shaw to reveal in December 1989 that he was one of the three actual vocalists on the album and that the two were imposters. Farian reportedly paid Shaw $150,000 to retract his statements, though this did not stem the tide of public criticism. Because of the questions from the growing public as to who sang in the group, as well as both boys demanding Farian that they to be allowed to sing on the next album. On November 14, 1990, Frank announced that he had fired them and confessed they did not sing on the records. Confronted by Los Angeles Times reporter Chuck Phillips, Rob confirmed the deception. "It's true, Milli Vanilli did sing," read the newspaper's headline. "I feel like a mosquito being squeezed. The last 2 years of our lives have been a total nightmare. We had to lie to everybody. We are true singers, but the maniac Frank Farian would never allow us to express ourselves." Then they end up getting their Grammy revoked by the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences. They gave a press conference on that day for more than 100,000 journalists in Los Angeles, where they're stating their willingness to return the Grammy. The duo has said they made a deal with the devil and sing and rap for the room in order to prove that, although they haven't sung on the records, they could in fact sing. After those details emerged, lawsuits were filed under various U.S. consumer fraud protection laws against Arista Records, Rob, and Fab. One such filing occurred on November 22, 1990, in Ohio, where lawyers filed a class action lawsuit asking for refunds on behalf of a local woman in Cuyahoga County who had bought Girl You Know Shoe. When the suit was filed, it was estimated at least 1,000 Ohio residents had bought the album. On August 12, 1991, a proposed settlement of a refund lawsuit in Chicago was rejected. This settlement would refund binder buyers a Milli Vanilli CDs, cassettes, records, and singles. However, the refunds would only be given as credits for future artista releases. On August 28th, a new settlement was filed. It refunded those who attended concerts as well as who bought Milli Vanilli recordings. An estimated 10 million buyers were eligible to claim a refund, and they could keep the refunded recordings. The refund deadline passed through March 8, 1992. The two men moved to Los Angeles and signed with the Joss Entertainment Group. Sandy Gallen was their manager. They recorded Robert Fab, which was financed by Taj Records in 1992 and was released by Joss Entertainment in 1993. Almost the album songs were written by Kenny Taylor and Fab Morvan. While Morvan and Pelaez provided the lead vocals, Werner Schuller, a German bassist and songwriter, was the producer. Due to the financial constraints, Joss Entertainment Group was able to release the album only in the United States, the primary market to Milli Vanilli. We Could Get On was made available shortly before the release. However, due to the lack of publicity, poor distribution, and their sea fall from pop culture visibility after the lip syncing scandal contributed to his failure, only selling 2,000 copies. To restore their careers, Ferrier agreed to produce a new move in the album with only Rob and Fab on lead vocals in 1997, leading to the recording of the 1998 Milli Vanilli comeback album Back in Attack. Some of the original studio singers even backed the duo in their attempt to recover some of their fame that had been lost so quickly. However, Rob encountered a number of personal problems. During the production, he turned to drugs and crime, committed a series of assaults and robberies, and was sentenced to 3 months in jail and 6 months in a drug rehabilitation facility in California. Fab bailed police out of jail. On the eve of New Album's promotional tour, it was announced that Rob had died on April 2nd, 1998. His death was ruled accidental. Morvan spent the following years as a session musician and public speaker while working on writing and performing his new music. In 1998, he was a DJ at the famed LA radio station Kiss FM. During the time, he also performed at the station's sold-out 1999 Waco Tango Festival concert before 50,000 people at Dodger Stadium. He spent 2001 on tour performing in 2002 as the inaugural performer at the brand new Velvet Lounge at the Hard Rock Hotel. In 2003, he released his first solo album, Love Revolution. In April 2011, Morvan released the single Anytime on iTunes. So yeah, that's what happened to Milli Vanilli. They wanted to show off their real forces, but they ended up selling their souls for a paycheck, leading to tragedy and to popularity being ruined. Hopefully Fab will do just as bad on his own, and hopefully people will remember Milli Vanilli as the one who wanted to show off their real talents, but they ended up not giving the opportunity. Okay guys, that's it for this episode. As you know, I've been debating on where I should do this episode on Milli Vanilli, because this was a highly big scandal back in the early years. Hopefully, I think Fab will become successful on his own without Rob. As we all know, Rob literally died due to alcohol and prescription drug overdose. And it was accidental, by the way. Anyway, I'll catch you guys in the next episode. I love you guys.